When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my God, welcome back to another lovely episode of The Bald and the Beautiful. I am Trixie Mattel.
I couldn't agree more.
And I'm also Katya.
And today we have the distinct pleasure of having, is this our first heterosexual guest?
I do not believe in labels.
Okay? I don't believe in labels, honey.
I don't see that. I don't do that. But it is our first, I believe, accomplished Hollywood actor.
A straight person is just someone who hasn't seen The Prom yet.
Actually, I watched The Prom and it turned me straight.
Oh, word.
It was so gay that I said, no, I don't want that. I'm not that gay.
Here we are.
Okay. Hi, Jamie. Welcome back.
Yay. Hello. We had some previous technical difficulties and we've grown and we've worked through that. And
yeah. Here we are. In the drag industry, we call these testicular difficulties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just introducing you. You're probably the first. Is this the first heterosexual person we've had on the podcast?
Hey, I'm not going to assume his preference, but yeah, I think so.
Sir,
you've never had a hetero?
I don't think so.
So I'm like a gold plated guest. Is that what they call it? Or platinum?
You're a diamond in the rough. Pearls before swine or whatever they say.
Yeah. You're certainly one of the most decorated Hollywood icons. I'm so happy you reached out. We have Jamie Kennedy here, everybody. Woo!
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
How are you doing today, Jamie?
I'm really good. I actually just opened this up because I spilled coffee in between our mixed stuff.
Oh, perfect. in a white outfit. It's over for you.
I know. Pre Memorial Day.
Oh, so my God.
You're semi-new to the podcasting world yourself, too, right?
Ish. I started in 2017, and I did a little bit, but I got so busy, and then it's a lot of work. And then once the pandemic hit, I'm like, I just really got to do it. And I just look at a podcast, now it's like a Twitter handle or Instagram. It's just another, thing of who you are. And so I've been doing it pretty consistently for them.
Do you ever I don't know. Sometimes there between the various forms of social media and then the podcast and other and especially because we often do forms of media that basically just show ourselves, not characters really, or acting. Sometimes I just want to say, fuck all of this and go live in a hut in Siberia.
Yeah. You ever want to live in a hut in Siberia?
Definitely the hut, not Siberia. Probably Fort Myers, somewhere down there in Florida. You know, a little tiki hut, a little rum action. You know what I mean? Definitely, it's like overwhelming. On you got to post here, and I got to add a tag, and then I got to do a link, and then they got to swipe it up.
And just when you have a handle on one, they invent a new one, and then it's also like
I know Clubhouse. I've been in Clubhouse. It's like, I can't sit here for 5 hours with this conversation.
Okay.
How many cancellations are going to happen?
You have to explain to me. Please explain to me what in the, because I got invited by my friend in Spain to join Clubhouse and then she described what it was. And I was like, that sounds like a fucking nightmare. What is it?
Nightmare.
What?
Well, everybody's on it now. All the influencers and people. So, you did have Elon in there and Mark Zuckerberg and everybody else. And basically, you get invited. Like, I didn't get invited by like four or five cool people, and I was still in beta. But basically, so you're having a pod about something, and all of a sudden, you have people that are watching. So you're on stage, and maybe you'll have one other person. You're just talking amongst yourself, and then you'll have an audience of like 12 people, and then you can say, "Hey, there's Priscilla. Let's let her come up," and then she may say something to you. The thing is, though, people stay on it for hours and they say shit and they forget they're talking. And now people are recording those combos and putting them on YouTube and going, oh, so-and-so was on so-and-so and here's what they said. It's a rat.
That sounds like a cancellation.
It sounds like a factory. I think it's a trap.
It could be like a trap. It could be like what they did. That's interesting.
I mean,
and so there's another one going to come out now, and I just forgot the name of it, but it's going to come. It's going to be there, another version of it.
Oh my God.
I mean, that sounds like someone who, that sounds like a tabloid, a reporter was like, how can we leverage people's narcissism into like a surefire way to get them like to say shit that they won't get, canceled or
right.
whatever, as if we need any more, Wow.
Here's what else is happening. Okay. So I don't know. I assume your hours are bizarre, right? Like I see like,
especially every, this one.
Every night, I feel like I wake up between 3 and 5. I know it's like the witching hour, but I feel like it's been happening a lot. Right. Uh-huh. And you could go on Clubhouse and it'll be packed with people just talking. Do you know how loopy you are at 3 a.m.?
And that sounds like tweaker. I was going to say, that is big tweaker energy right there.
But it's not. It's all types of industry and people talking. People are up at 2 a.m. giving oratory. They're giving oratory speakings. And they're talking like in different industries about music, about comedy, about fashion. And you can just listen. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Whoa. I am so glad that this was not around like 2 years ago. Because this is something I would do if I'm alone and I'm in a fit of mania. I would get on and be like, I'm going to give a lecture on physics.
Totally.
Into people in Germany.
Oh my God.
I never took a physics class in my life, but I just stream of consciousness.
He'd be on a bender like, I'm about to let these children have it.
Yeah. Y'all want to know about quantum theory? Here we go. Like, and then it would just, before you know it, I'm like, that's really frightening. But it's popular.
Yeah. Or me it's drunk ranting huge. About my family.
Well, Andreessen Horowitz is a big investment firm up in tech in the Valley. And they are like, once they invest in something, it's like supposed to be the next. So now it's everyone in LA I know who is, quote unquote, influential is on it. A lot of people in Silicon Valley is on it. And I think it's just normal. People are chomping at the bit to get in there.
It's crazy. You kind of hit your first big few hits when you were at an age where now to be that age and be famous, you have to be plugged into every platform at all time.
Yeah.
Or they're not interested, which is so fascinating. Like you don't really have an option to break through and not have Instagram now.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
No way. It's they look at you now. How many followers? I had an actress tell me recently, she walked in and the casting director's like, how many followers you got? What's your collective count? And this girl who's not that known in mainstream, but is huge. She's like, well, I have 8 million. And all the, literally 3 girls got up and was like, bye. They just left. And it's a big deal now because I was,
you were reading for a part with these girls.
No, the 90s was the last of, I believe, mainstream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's been disrupted, which is great, because everybody deserves a voice and everybody can be creative. And there's a lot of great stuff coming out of the new forms of distribution. But we had the video camera. So that was a big thing in the 90s, but you could get the tape and throw it out if there was something weird,
Right.
But now it's done. It's a wrap. People are just taping, snapping, not disappearing, vanishing. I don't text anything I wouldn't say in person.
Oh, yeah. That's good to live by. I mean, honestly, people now have to start doing stand-up constantly, knowing that that moment could live forever, I guess, out of context. And I guess before it was not the case.
Yeah.
We were just talking about, now we have shows we can't even count on, shows being not pirated, stand-up being pirated. The second you think of something, brand new set you're trying out, somebody tapes it and puts it out there. And it's then you go to a show and your fans have already heard it.
Yeah. Oh, it's there's no gym anymore unless you shut down the cameras. And that's just hard to do. You have to just make peace with it. It's like Napster. You know, you can't fight it. You got to just go with it. And there's going to be a lot of parallel thinking, and then there's going to be things taken out of context, and then there's, you know, so it's, it, there was a time though where you would be like, you know, but let's try to, you know, this person didn't mean that or whatever. Not now. This is, we just live in this new culture where they're like, ooh, get that person, take them down. It's just, it's
over.
An interesting,
it's over for you, bitch. Time. It's a wrap.
So it's a donezo.
So when I was prepping to have you, which I'm so happy you're here, I have to ask you, you know, this one and I work in an industry where everybody has an alter ego. We have a fake personality. I have to ask you about a certain Marty Powers. Is that for real? Please tell us about Marty Powers.
100%. He didn't put wigs on though. It's a different alter ego, but he was fabulous. But no, it was basically like, you know, I was starting out. I was very broke, you know, as we all are, and I was working as a teleworker in Hollywood, not too far from the Seventh Veil, you know, like that, you know. And so it was like we would go and we were selling toner. You know, toner is the stuff that you put in copy machines. It was an unsexy job, and I was getting.
It depends how you really.
But so I had to basically call different cities and try to basically find out the copy machine. And that's how the people would sell. They would find who's in the office. So I'd be like, hi, Mabel. Hi, how are you? This is Phil down here at Copies R Us. And basically what we're doing is I need to find that copier machine you got in the office. So what's it say on it there? I would have to call. I'd call all over the country. So let's ask Tom Texas. I'd be like, hey, how are you, Mabel? This is Jeffrey down here at Copies R Us. And basically, I need to get that copier number on that machine. You can get in there. And so she would go, oh, let me go get that for you. And it would be like FT-109. And that would be like a Canon or something. And basically, I would then find that number. And then I would go and give that number to our salesperson. And they would try to sell them a better toner. And that's basically how it started. But I would call Brooklyn and be like, hey, how are you? These old fucking copy, you know. I would call a lot of places doing a lot of different accents. And that's how I got good with Marty. And so I looked at myself as a product. I read a book called Think and Grow Rich. And then basically told me how I could do it and basically how to treat yourself as a product. Take three no's, hang up, all of that stuff.
This is the Jamie Kennedy School of Acting.
Oh, my God. This is also how to sell yourself.
Yeah,
you got to. Well, here's what you would do, right? You would look at yourself and you would say, name five people in your industry, okay? And look at five traits that are you feel that you're better than them at and five traits where you can improve it. So whatever you're in, I would look around at people that were very successful or just getting TV spots. And I'm like, well, I did a gig with that person last week. I got bigger laughs. I think I'm as good looking, if not better. I'm very physical on stage. I would break it down and then I would be like, I have to do this. And so you build this confidence up. You know what I'm saying?
Confidence.
So Marty Powers was your fake agent, basically?
Marty Power was a character that I did. And basically, in a nutshell, it was, I'm trying to do it here. It was an older character. It's harder to do it because I don't really have the microphone. And what you would do is you compare things. So back in the day, I would say, I had a kid here who's a cross between Robbie Benson and James Woods. And that was you remember Robbie Benson?
Oh, God.
In the early 90s, that was a good mix because it was like lovable puppy dog, but like a little edge, a little psycho. So that's how I was done myself.
Oh my God. And that, like, that voice is that I believe that voice.
I love you. Should be like, everyone shut up. It'd be a house party. You'd be like, everyone shut up. Turn off the music. It's for Marty.
Hello. That's a really smart idea. It's like, I think, you know, that's like a thing. If you have, you're starting out and you, call my office or whatever, you answer the phone. Hello, this is Dr. Susan's office. I can connect you right. You know, you do that. And then this like an air of legitimacy is conveyed, right?
When I first started selling my own merchandise, I sold it myself and I was touring at the same time. So I'll be gone for weeks. And then the emails will start to roll on like, where's my shirt? And I had a Steven from my merchandise, which was me answering emails.
Yeah.
And then if they were really mad, I would chime in for my real email and personally apologize. And they'd be like, it's okay, I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's important to a lot of people.
You have to. Who's giving us a break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also sometimes.
No one wants you in the beginning. No one wants you in this booth.
Especially as we want you, but we need you to have credits. It's like, well, no one gave you a credit. So then you don't have a credit. So how do you get a credit without a credit, Mary?
Exactly. You have to be co-signed. Someone has to, someone else has to like you first, and then you get the tape, and then the tape goes, and it's totally that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to talk about auditions because I went like I've only had a few auditions for like teeny small acting roles, and almost I think every single one of them was absolutely terrifying, horribly I mean, they were so bad. Like, it just bombed so bad. I mean, and in the best circumstances, I can, like, act pretty decently well. But, like, what was the worst audition experience we've ever had?
You guys can see the face Jamie just made. It's like, how much time do you have?
I mean, that's like, I wish I prepared for that.
Oh, sorry. Can I ask you, I'll ask you a version of that.
Go for it. I'm thinking of a couple, but go for it.
Okay.
You've had like the privilege of like having the script in your hand to audition for so many movies, like Clueless, which is my all time favorite movie. Mm. Titanic, of course. Is there anything that you were like, I would have fucking nailed that? We were standing outside their house like, you're making a mistake here. I'm getting Marty.
I did a table read for a movie called Saving Silverman. Do you remember that movie?
Yes, Jason Biggs.
It wasn't a huge movie, but it would have been a great breakthrough for me as like a beginning starring role.
Mm.
And when you do a table read, it kind of like green lights the movie, you know? So the director was there who directed it, Dennis Dugan. Michael Keaton was at the table read. Jack Black, Steve Zahn. I think Jason Lee was there. So some of the actors that were in the movie were there and some of the actors weren't there. And I really wanted that role because it was like, and Amanda Peet, I believe, was his girlfriend, and me, I'm not sure if Mina Suvari was in it, but it was just a fun little comedy. And I did so much preparation in the reading of it. I thought, I hope I could get that. But I didn't. So that was, when you do table reads, you really want to get the role.
I was like,
in terms of movies, shit, I'm trying to think of a movie that I was really up for that you would know that I didn't get. I mean, I'm trying to think of like, there was a movie called The Big Hit with Mark Wahlberg. That was a great movie. And I was in that movie, but the schedule didn't work. So I couldn't do that. That was kind of a bum.
Because sometimes I feel like you do leave with a feeling like, I really am good for that. You know what I mean? You leave with like, oh, I would be really good for that.
I would have been incredible.
I think I really should have been. Troy, you know, I thought I had the same type of chest as Brad Pitt. But, you know, I understand they wanted to.
I mean, yeah.
That's
kind of
it. I tried out for Rose McGowan.
I could have been soldier number six, neurotic. Come on, Troy, what are you doing? I don't trust the
I could have played woman number two.
Yeah. I would have been a great Nomi in Showgirls. I have the same body.
You have the same body. I have exactly the same body.
I could have been Gina Gershon.
Do you like the movie Showgirls, Jamie?
Of course. Showgirls, you don't even know my connection with it. First of all, please tell us. Well, Showgirls is like coming around as kind of this like beautiful piece of pop art, right? I think it's getting the appreciation it deserves.
Totally.
And at the time, I think it was misunderstood. I think it was over the top, but it was meant to be. And I was just talking to one of the actors who I love, Robert Davi, who was in it. And he's got one of the most craziest, I don't know if I could say it on the pod, lines in like cinematic history. He's what?
Which line is it?
I mean, can I say it?
We'll bleep it.
Absolutely.
But he's like, look, you know what? And if they don't come in, it's something about it. If they don't come in your face, you know, you got to ask what. Something literally, he says that. And that was a huge, like, what the heck? I mean, that would be a big line today. But back then, It was crazy. And that movie is one of the movies that Randy quotes. He says, you know, absolutely frightening in Scream 2, Showgirl. And now I think that people are, I don't know. I've been hearing a lot about Showgirls lately. And I think people.
I love Showgirls.
Yeah, I mean, I do too.
Yeah, at the time, I watched a documentary, or it was a documentary or something. At the time, I feel like Gina Gershon knew, during filming, she knew what was happening.
You think?
No, she knew. Said that she knew this was camp, but other people did not, like Elizabeth Berkley. So, there was a lot of, there was a realization on her part of, oh, I know what kind of movie we're making here. But
right.
Other people involved didn't, and, Elizabeth Berkley just went for it. And then it was panned. But it is one of the most watchable movies I've ever, in terms of quote unquote bad
totally.
Films. It is so gripping, so entertaining. Every scene is.
Yeah.
It's also, big. It's bold. It's loud. It's over the top. It's sexy.
Yeah.
It's in your face. Yeah. I love it. And the dance scenes were real good.
Let's take a break. I have to say, when I first saw that movie, I didn't know that people thought it was bad. I was like, oh, that was a cool movie. But I understand that gay people might
have a proclivity for the over-the-top campiness of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it really fucked Elizabeth Berkley up for a long time.
Yeah. I'm not one to comment on it because I wasn't in it. And I know how hard it is to make a movie. I like the movie. I'm saying that some of the reviews might have been a little harsher. But I think it's coming around now as this big kind of shining light of art. Like you said, it was big and it was bold and it was cabaret-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Verhoeven is so his movies are incredible. Total Recall. I mean, it's so wild. It's so wild and over the top.
I mean, also, she is so fucking hot in that movie.
Yeah.
The purple makeup with her body.
Is insane.
Insane.
Totally insane. Yeah.
That pool scene, the sex scene in the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Yeah. So crazy.
Also, she and Gina Gershon talking about doggy chow, how they used to eat dog food in this, lesbian erotica, moment in Vegas, talking about dog food. I mean, it's a little over the top. Yeah.
Whenever I go to the mall in Vegas, there's that, what's it called, the mall there? They're eating in the food court in that mall. Whenever I go through there, I think of, we're all whores, darling.
Yeah.
I know that mall. It has show in it.
Yeah, what's it called? It's called people are
gonna remind me of it.
Isn't it an Egyptian theme, that mall?
Oh, the Egyptian?
I don't remember. Anyway, I always think of that scene.
Yeah. Do you like Vegas? Have you worked in Vegas a lot?
A lot. I love Vegas.
You do?
I'm all about it. It's actually a whole other subculture there of Summerlin and Henderson that's off the strip. It's really healthy and you can work out and play golf. But I love the strip too. I'm all about, eating a buffet.
Yeah, I will say that was a Bacchanal. That Bacchanal buffet is lit.
It's insane. Top five. It's gotten reviews worldwide. It is It's incredible.
What is it called? The Bacchanal?
The Bacchanal.
The Bacchanal. The line is hours. You have to get a good player's card.
But the food is, amazing.
I don't give a shit what kind of food it is. I'm not going to wait hours in line.
Well, what else is there to do there?
You can get in with a VIP card or something, but it's every type of food. And I mean, Michelin star chefs. It's incredible.
Yeah,
really dessert day.
Even just desserts alone is worth it.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ,
it's really fierce.
I mean, I did go. The first time I went to Vegas, I cried at the fountains of Bellagio
because they told you no swimming.
The water. And then Sarah Brightman was playing, and I cried.
I have a question for you, Jamie, that I'm kind of asking all the comedians: what's going to happen when we all go back to the stage, Do you remember your sets at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it slowly. We've been playing parking lots and fields and
tell me everything.
Mountain valleys.
Because I have talked to I was talking to Whitney Cummings about this, and she said it's a different experience out there with people in their cars and stuff.
Oh, it totally is. You get a honk and you're like, ah, headlights. It is different. It's nothing like the human interaction, obviously. But I would say, yeah, I mean, I've been writing some newer stuff and mixing it, but no, I can't remember half of it. And just, you'd be amazed, though, at how many people really do. They're so appreciative. So crowds are very, and less offended, you know? Okay. So they're much more like, oh, thank you. And it's therapeutic. You're going to realize how therapeutic it is for you when you do it. You're going to, it's, you really do count your blessings, not to sound corny.
Yeah, that makes sense. It feels like there would probably be less, like more of a grateful element in the audience and make perhaps less hecklers once things come back to like normal or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It is. There's enough to worry about to not worry about a joke, but I'm sure there's going to still be people that do worry about that.
Besides, there's cars out there. If they see something they don't like, they'll just put it in drive and take you out.
You drive off. You know what's crazy is I did the Roosevelt last week, so they've been doing these shows in the parking lot. It was great, but like the first, it looked packed, and then I realized the first three rows were like the active cars, and then the last three rows were just parked cars. I was like, no, I thought I was like killing in the first three rows. I'm like, the last three rows hates me, but I'm like, oh,
there's nobody there. That's fucking funny.
They're just abandoned vehicles that haven't run in years. They just told you there's people there.
Oh my God, you could do like a cemetery set with people just perched on individual gravestones. You know what I mean?
Well, they do those movies in the cemetery, right?
Yeah, they do.
Don't they? I think.
And Hollywood Forever, I think.
They do.
Have you been to those, Jamie?
I haven't. I'm supposed to go because Scream is playing a few times in different movies I've been in, but I haven't. But I heard they're amazing. They're these big, like inflatable, you know, movies.
Doesn't Scream play, but probably semi regularly there?
I'm sure. I mean,
it's if you're gonna sit in the graveyard,
yeah. Can I ask a ghost question? You get good residual checks from that movie. Those movies
from the show Ghost. Scream?
From Scream.
Oh yeah, do very well.
He's got an assistant, and he's got. I know. I'm just curious. I did one
an Enterprise. An Enterprise.
You know what I have is Enterprise is a great program where you can rent a car for a monthly, and it's a better deal. And that way, I'm trying to figure out what car I'm going to get. My last car was done pre-pandemic, so that's what that is. And we so I accept different cars every month.
You got to give us some car advice.
Yeah, we want cars.
Okay, well, hold on. I was Ubering so much and I was out of town so much that I was like, I had a car and I never used it.
Well,
so
that's the thing. Yeah.
And so then I sold it and I was like, I don't need a car. And now I need a car. And so I don't know. Do you want to buy one? You can buy one, but it's like a depreciating asset.
I want to steal one, Jamie. It is a depreciating asset. But wait, so if I have a car and I don't use it,
do you lose it?
It's not like, it doesn't like atrophy necessarily the same way a person's muscles would if they were bedridden, right? Like I don't have to go wash the sores and like, you know, but like, I know that if I left it alone for 10 years, something bad would probably happen. Maybe, I don't know.
Yes. They would just get outdated, you know, and they're updating them so quick now. And it's like it is. They literally say when you drive a car off the lot, you basically lost money.
Yeah, you're like, it's like you snip a hole in your pocket as you walk away. Yeah.
You've had some hot, sexy cars, I'm sure. I know when you did Scream, didn't you buy yourself like a retro Porsche or something?
Close. Did you have a fancy car? Some good research. My first big purchase. I took pretty much my whole paycheck, which was about $18,000, which was a lot of money. Still a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I went and I bought myself it was like 18-1 I made on the movie, and the car was like 18-5. And so I went and I bought a BMW, and it was like a used, but it was like a stick shift. It was like a 328. It was like a little off 325. Okay. And it just zipped everywhere. And I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, I got my first like purchase out of Hollywood. And she's like, what'd you get? I'm like, it's BMW 328i, you know, stick shift. And she's like, that's a showy car. Show off. Mr. Show off. Had to get a BMW. What is wrong with a Honda? I'm like, I worked 6 years. And what's wrong with an Acura? Show off. And she really, I really pissed me off. I was like, screw you. This is what I want. And then that was it.
You know what? Let me tell you what, moms, you're never going to get the reaction you want.
I know.
You never get, whether good or bad, you're never. I bought my mom a house this year. She lived in the, my mom rents a trailer in the country. I bought her a $250,000 four bedroom home in Milwaukee. Cash. And I brought
your
that
parking lot shows are going good.
It's the it's that sick podcast money.
Yeah, right.
But you know, I bought this house for her. I bring her, my mom rents a trailer in the country. I bring her there. She goes, they look bigger in pictures.
No. I go,
do you want to move back to the trailer, mom? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
But long story short.
What state is she from? She's from here?
Wisconsin.
So she was lit. Oh, it's cold.
Yeah. She's real high in Beloten.
Yeah.
Beer battered cheese curds in the cold in a trailer, and you get her a house.
Yes. And she's like, she's like, it has stairs. You know, I don't have good knees. How am I supposed to get down to the bay? I'm like, I'm sorry, your house has so many floors. Yeah. I'm over here in my 1,200 square foot, you know, Hollywood pad. But anyway, moms will never give you what you want. But I will say, I read that on Scream 2, when your character, rest in peace, passes away. Your mom was on set that day watching you get brutally murdered.
This is all facts. Yes, that was actually a beautiful moment, if you can make it one. Because I had like the whole afternoon was just me, you know what I mean? And so I had the killer and he's stalking me and all the different angles. And so Roger, who's awesome, who's Ghostface, is like, he sounds really scary. So Wes gave me a phone. My mom and dad were visiting. And the stuff that he said to me during the scene is not what's in the movie. And
was he trying to make you laugh?
Well, you know, he would say stuff and I would be like weirded out. And he would, I forget, he says a couple personal things. And I was, whoa. And then he said, I'm kidding, your mother is next to me. And I remember my mom was like there and Wes didn't tell me where he was. I didn't know where, what they call base. Where the tent is, where you're looking, where the monitors are. And so I had no idea. And I'm just looking around. So when I'm looking, I'm actually looking. I'm like, mom there? Like, what the hell? I thought she went shopping. And so he got me good.
That's so cool. I would love it if he had some personal issues he wanted to work out before you left. Yeah. And he was like, and I always thought you were really short. Yeah. And your mom thinks your car is showing.
Take that BMW.
The stick shift, huh? You think you're hot shit.
Do you think I could learn a stick? How long does it take to learn a stick shift? I know how to drive, technically. Like, I mean, I could drive a mile without killing anybody or myself. I'm pretty confidently, but I have no idea how to learn a stick shift. How long do you think it takes to do that? And is it worth learning at this point in my life? I'm over 40.
I'll take my answer off the air.
I think we're all not going to have to drive soon. Even cars are going to be picking us up. But, you know, you go to Target parking lot. It's not hard. A couple of lessons.
It's basically
like this. Here's your foot. Here's the stick. Right? So imagine it's like a gripping thing. Right? So as you push that in and the car won't move. So as you let your foot, you put the thing in. So it's like, boom, boom, first. Then slowly let the thing out. And as it goes, it will catch. And then you'll start zooming. And then as that's coming, the pedal is going. Does this make sense? Gas.
So you guys are left on the gas, right on the clutch?
Left on the clutch, left. Right on the gas. But don't you take the gas. You let it come out slowly. And then you give it a little bit of gas.
Let me ask you.
Practice in a parking lot. And then when
Jamie Kennedy, can we get you to commit to giving us 2 to 5 stick shift driving lessons?
Yeah.
At the Target parking lot.
Why do people drive standard transmissions? Is it funner?
Wait,
is it more fun?
Is standard stick or
stick?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you mean stick? Oh, because when I had my BMW, I don't know if you guys remember the 90s in LA and maybe weren't around then, but everybody had the BMW and the Porsche. And there's something about like well, it's still bumper to bumper, but now it's all different. But when you're going over the 405, you know, it's like, you can really open it up. I'm not even a car guy, but a beautifully car, a European car is so beautifully made, and it's not to sound like a car head, and I'm not, but it's tight. So it's like, you can really feel the power. BMWs are so good. So the stick is good for like really kind of airing it out, if you will.
Okay, I feel like that like top down California dream and zoom zoom lifestyle. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Stick, I could teach you.
You know how to drive a standard? Yeah. I do not believe you.
In the country, it's like all the big trucks are stick.
I've only thought about it because, like, what if you know I'm driving somewhere and get in a car accident and somebody's like, you know, unconscious, dead, and I need to drive the car to the hospital or something like that. You know, there's so many scenarios.
Wait, but you used to have a license, right?
Yeah, I have a license. It's just expired. I know how to drive.
Right.
But I have no idea about the stick shift. And I know dumbass people who have, I mean, close to like, you know, Neanderthal IQs who do drive very well with the stick shift. So I have a certain level of confidence I could learn it.
Yeah, it's just a couple of moves. You could do it easily.
We're dreaming big down here.
You want to do it just because you're scared of an accident. Jeez, put those thoughts out of your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that leasing a car? I'm sorry about the car talk, really, but should I lease a car? Is it worth it to
so
lease a car?
Funny.
You're our only straight friend. Please help us. Please help us, Dad. Dad, please.
And I'm not like a gearhead or anything.
Yeah, but like in this group, you are the gearhead.
Hey,
you
are though.
You are Need for Speed, Fast and the Furious. Okay.
Also, we should get my brother for his birthday. I'm trying to impress this girl, and I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Does he manscape?
He's like, Jamie's like, get him a manscape. Use my code. Yeah. Use my offer code.
I know we have crossed. Buy a car. Just lease a car.
Just lease it. Okay.
We have a friend.
Are you from LA?
No, I'm from Boston.
Yeah, so you're like me, you took the subway. So you didn't need to drive.
Yeah.
So we got to get a car. You got to get a car. Because even right now, you want to sit in an Uber with somebody, you know, a little dicey.
What kind of car do you want to get? What's the vibe?
It's okay. I found it. It's a small, it's a Range Rover. It's a Range Rover. But it's not the.
All the little baby ones.
Yeah. It's called the.
They're awesome.
Something Q. Something Q. It's a baby Range Rover. You know how Range Rovers are kind of giant?
It's a compact Range Rover.
Yeah. And the Land Rovers are tall.
Not. They don't have a lot of headroom. I still like such a car head. I swear I'm not a car head. But the way you ask me these questions, I just know these cars. They're small, but they zip. Like you want to go to Palm Springs.
Yeah, the Land Rover Evoque or something
like that.
Big
Bear.
Yeah.
They're good for those trips.
Yeah, because if I'm gonna get a car, I don't want like a Miata. I need to have a lot of shit. And although I don't want to have enough space to have to drive people around, it's like I don't have room in my car. Sorry.
Plus, for you, situations might change where housing becomes an issue.
Yeah, maybe I need to live in the car for a few weeks.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. She wants to get a vintage Beetle.
I want to get a Beetle, man. Listen, I make a lot of choices that don't make sense. I've owned a smart car, so I make a lot of hard left choices.
Whoa.
It's a go-kart
just
with an engine.
Imagine me, Jamie, pulling up to the gay clubs in like 2012 in full drag, 6'5", blonde hair, getting out of a clown car. And because that car was so small, I could pull up to the gay club, back up against the curb, and that still fit, like the parking.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. Did you do that just because that's what you could afford, or you wanted to make it an entrance?
Well, A, I thought it was cool. And B, at the time, a brand new smart car was like $12,000. So I, a broke person, could afford like a brand new car.
Yeah. I could never dream about affording a car ever.
And those cars are made with 96% recycled materials. Isn't that a gag?
It's a gag when you get
like
fucking
you
bowled over
right
by
thing.
A Volvo on the highway.
It was cool. I mean, for me, I was like, I'm never going to have kids. I don't need to know who's back there. But it did have a weight limit, and I loved my roommate. My roommate was a really big guy, and it is a 500-pound weight limit, and I couldn't give him rides, which was a gag. And that was my out.
Sorry, fat, I can't give you a ride.
Yeah, it created some friction. You know, Jamie, we have a crossed wire because we're good friends with Darren Stein.
Are you?
Yes, we know her. We love her. Because she loves drag.
Wait, do you know what's funny? I don't know if I could say this. You just reminded me that Darren is gay, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost forgot.
Okay, Jamie's asking if Darren Stein, who wrote Jawbreaker, is gay.
I was like, did she come out in between? I'm like, well, I think she was.
Well, was he maybe not out during Sparkler?
No, definitely. Okay. But yeah. You just reminded me because it's been a minute since I did that movie. But I think that movie is kind of an iconic movie in the gay community.
It's very hard to find.
It is, but I believe that Darren just got it on DVD. I want to say Netflix.
And
DVD.
He recently texted me, like, if you come over, I got a copy for you. Because he says it's really hard. The hard copies are really hard to come by.
Wait, where? I love Darren. He's such a good person.
Such an icon.
That was my first time in Vegas. That was my first time being, like, a co-lead. He took such good care of us. And it was just with Park. And with, oh God. So
that was pretty early for you too. It was like early in your career.
Yeah, it was just, we had so much fun. That was like a family. You know what I mean? That set.
That's awesome. You have,
how do you guys know each other? I guess just.
Oh, I met him at DragCon. He was at RuPaul's DragCon. It's his big drag convention. And he came up to me and he was like, hey, I know you've talked about interviews, your favorite movie's Jawbreaker. I made that movie. And I was like, what? And then he actually hosts these big RuPaul's Drag Race viewing parties at his house. He has this giant projector and he has all the gays. And he hosts big Oscar parties too. But yeah, he loves to watch Drag Race with the girls.
Back in the day. Wait, I don't know if he was married back then or the boyfriend. I don't know.
To a woman.
I haven't seen him in a while.
And you worked with Veronica Cartwright in that movie, Icon.
Yes. Incredible.
She is.
And Sandy. Sandy too. Icon. Veronica. Icon.
We are so obsessed with her. We are obsessed with her in Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah. She's so fucking
good. When she's possessed, puking up all those cherries.
Yeah.
So.
And then I played, I was in a music video.
I know,
with
so good. She was so. What music video?
It was with this band Deep Valley, and in the video, I played like a what's her name? The young girl, the pageant girl who was killed.
JonBenet.
I played like a JonBenet Ramsey, like a drag queen, and she was my mom. And the whole video, we're in this trailer park, and I'm tap dancing, and she's like cracking the whip, and then she's feeding me baby food, and then at the end, we're in a trailer, and she strangled me with Christmas lights. It was so surreal. I'm like, I'm calling my mom, like, Veronica Cartwright is strangling me today. But I love her.
What song was that? I think I heard that. I think I saw that video.
Well, Darren actually directed the video. Darren Stein directed. It was Itty Bitty Beauty, Little Baby Beauty Queen, I believe it's called.
I think I saw that video because I remember the Christmas light strangle.
The Christmas light strangle. Do you miss the blonde highlights and Sparkler? Be honest.
Do you know what that's from? That was from As Good As It Gets, and I was in that movie, and then I had blonde highlights, and then Darren liked it, so he just kept it, and so I went over. But yeah, I do.
You're cute. Do you miss the pink hair from Romeo and Juliet?
Do I miss the what?
The pink hair.
Oh, I wonder if I like people realize I feel like I kind of started that. Because we were in the movie and Baz is like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, you know, this, we had all different palettes of different looks. And I was like, you know, I think I gotta dye my hair first off. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that. And he's like, I think you should do it with dyed it blonde. And then I'm like, since there's going to be so many different colors and loud sounds and music, I'm like, what about pink? And he's like, yeah.
It's fierce.
It's really fierce.
I bet the upkeep
was people doing pink, and I'm wondering if that movie inspired them.
Yeah, the upkeep was probably kind of a bitch, but it is cool.
Here's what it is: you start with the blonde, you put the pink in, it gets real vibrant, and then you have to do like once a week just to shape up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You actually, so you have a TV credit that I think is probably my ultimate dream role. A satanic cannibalistic killer.
Oh God.
Criminal Mind.
Hey, typecasting.
Yes. If I could do it, I mean, like, that
acting.
It is like, I mean, to tell a priest, I think I've got it right. To be questioned by the police and then to tell a priest that you've served him human soup at a, or something like that. It's so good. He gets like apprehended in his underwear. With like in a, this like small tiny dingy room with a bloody pentagram
sex symbol.
Yes,
keeping totally. It sexy.
I was like, oh my god, it's like my Boner City. And then like it was just so, I mean, I would die to play a role like that. Was it fun doing that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Criminal Minds is one of the coolest shows to be a part of, and it's a show that's given a lot of the actors that don't normally are known for that type of role. Jason Alexander,
yeah.
Frankie Muniz, James Vanderbeek. And I had to go in. I mean, and I was like starring in movies and stuff, but I still had the audition and I was just like more than happy to do it. And I, you know, the creator was in the room and he's like, man, dude, that was really good. He's like, I'll see you on set tomorrow at 7 a.m. And I was like, and I just knew it would be a different look for me, you know, yeah. And to be able to do that, it's based off of some kind of case. And it was less is more, you know, when I put those glasses on and I had that beard, and I have to say that much.
Yeah.
I knew. And then it ended up being like voted like a top 10 unsub. And I was like, oh man, which is like what they call creeps on that show. So I was happy. I made a list.
I love it. Well, it must be so fun for like to be able to like go completely batshit
and be yourself for once, you know.
Let it all out.
But before we let you go, I have to ask you. I love the movie Bowfinger so much, and when you were standing there with, I mean, all these icons, were you like, this movie's about to be that bitch? Because that movie is so funny, and every time I watch it, I find something new. Eddie Murphy in that movie is really like two completely different people.
It's incredible. Multiple. He played multiple characters. He played his movie star, and then he played his brother. Yeah, I mean, that was a definite like super college. I didn't go to college. It was like a beautiful summer school college. It was like 16 weeks in the summer, all LA. Icon here, Steve Martin. Icon here, Eddie Murphy. Icon to, you know, in the
Heather
making,
Graham.
Heather Graham. Icon over here, Christine Baranski. Oh. You know, it was just different walks of life. And I was like smack dab in the middle of it. And I was just like kid in a candy store. And Frank, also icon, you know, directing it. I mean, he's Miss Piggy's Yoda.
Yeah.
Multiple things. And also Ron Howard and Brian Grazer produced it. So it was, I was so lucky. And it was, yeah, every day it was like school. And it was
so,
we just shut down
funny.
All of LA.
You had to have known that it was so funny. You had to have been like, people are going to fucking die from this. It is so funny.
Yeah. It's crazy because it was like, I think it's like really, people really love it as an underrated gem. Like, it came out, it did okay, box office wise, but people love it. But it's like, yeah, it's definitely lived on in its way. But it was. When we were doing it, I was like, it was crazy.
It's amazing.
Well, thank you for letting us harass you on our podcast. Where can people find you?
I appreciate this so much. You can find me on Instagram, Jamie Kennedy. I have a podcast, Hate to Break It to You, on Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, Jamie Kennedy, all the usual spots. And I appreciate it. Sorry we had so many false starts.
Never. No, it's fine. I really recommend people go to your YouTube and check out the video on why celebrities go broke.
I know. I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
I'm doing more like that type of stuff of behind the scenes of like what it's like. Because people ask me so many questions and it's like, it's true. It's not just drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of people that like, get their little grimy little thumbs
in
their pockets.
Yeah.
Sycophants.
Exactly. Steve-O does similar series. Steve-O does kind of similar series that I really enjoy, where he's just him looking right at the camera being like, this is how it happened. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's a wealth of knowledge, Steve-O, too. So
And of course, he's like stapling his face to stuff. You know, you don't have to go there.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie.
Thanks,
what a pleasure
Jamie.
To talk to you.
Thank you so much.